Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute. And we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
We all know this scripture. Mason's got it on the screen already. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Somebody glorify God right there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We talked this morning about trials and tribulations and about the call of God upon our lives and how sometimes God will just lift his hand of covering from us and allow the enemy, he'll allow it. He won't bring bad things to you, but he'll allow the enemy to do so just to get our attention once in a while or to glorify his name. Amen. And you know what? If the Lord wants to allow something to come against me such to glorify his name, if it brings God glory, he can do it all he wants to. I'm happy to be the instrument of his glory. Amen. But I wanted to talk tonight about the fact that, you know, the trials of this life are many. We all suffer them. We all must face them. And they are different for every one of us. And how we handle them are also different. How we go about dealing with the issues that life brings against us. The trials that are of great importance tend to attack us at our very core, at our very being. These trials may be sickness. You might hear the C word. Well, now there's two C words. Cancer and COVID. Amen. Hallelujah. The trials can be relationships. It could be husbands or wives or children or parents or boyfriend and girlfriend. Amen. The trials might be financial. It might be there's a job loss or there's 2 months month at the end of your paycheck. Anybody ever suffer that? Amen. Possible house foreclosures. Possible homelessness. Losing your car, losing your boat, losing your summer home. Any of y'all got a summer home out there? You know, in 1 Kings 17, we find the widow woman and the prophet Elijah. We find this widow woman, she was at the point in her home between just her and her son that she had just enough oil and just enough meal to make them two more little cakes of bread. She was getting ready to go in and cook these cakes of bread and feed her and her son one last meal, and they were going to lay down and die. That's what the Bible says. And they were going to die of starvation. But about that time, the man of God, Elijah, came to town. Elijah had been hiding. And he had been hiding from Ahab and what's her name? Jezebel. Thank you. I couldn't get the name out to save my life. And the Lord had told him to get up and go to Zarephath. And he got up and went. And when he got there, he found... Now, one of the reasons he was hiding was because Elijah had spoken and said, it ain't going to rain again until my word. It ain't going to rain again until I say so. And the place was going through, we're talking about 3.5 years here. We're talking of famine. They were out of food. People was dying. People were starving. Livestock was dying. The crops weren't growing. No rain. And Elijah comes into Zarephath and he happens across this widow woman that I spoke about, and he says to her, ma'am, go in your house and make me a cake. Ain't that just like the man of God? Ain't that just like a preacher? Come to your house and demand a Big Mac when you ain't got the money for a cheeseburger. Come on now. He comes up and says, ma'am, I want you to go in the house and make me a cake. And she says, sir, I cannot, because there's just enough meal and oil in my house for me to go and make my son one final little cake. And I was getting ready to go in there and make those two cakes, and we were going to eat it and die. And the man of God, he straightened her out. See, they were in the middle of this drought because of Elijah's word. And it was because of that drought that the widow woman was about to starve, and Elijah told her to go and make him a cake. Go in and make it and bring it to me. This is what he said after she told him she didn't have no more money, no more food. He said, well, go in and make me a cake and bring it to me. Then you can go back in there and make you and your son one. And she looked at him like, what? He said, go ahead. You go in there and make mine. Then you can go back in there and make you and your sons. Now, in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, he said, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Do you know what happened to that with a woman's cruse of oil and her barrel of meal? She went in there and made her and her son. She went in and done what the man of God said. She went in there and, ain't that something? She done what the man of God said. Knowing she was going to die, knowing she didn't have enough to do for her and her son, she went and done what the man of God said. And when she went back in, she looked in that cruse and she looked in that barrel, and guess what? There was still just enough in there for her to make food for her and her son. And the man of God told her, he said, every time you go back to that cruise and that barrel, there's going to be just enough in there for you to do that. Every time you go back to it. And do you know what? For the remainder of time that it did not rain upon the earth, every time she went to that cruise, there was oil in it. Every time she went to that barrel, there was meal in it. Let me tell you something, saints. When the man of God speaks, when the Holy Ghost anoints the man of God, when the word of God comes forward and he says, I will do it, guess what? He's going to do it. And he ain't going to do it such that you're going to know where it comes from. There have been several times in our lives when Sister Renee and I, we got to looking at the calendar in the checkbook. And the calendar says there's going to be way more month at the end of the checkbook. She came to me a couple of times and said, Mac, we just ain't going to make it. We've got this much left to pay, and we ain't going to make this much. And we ain't got but this much in the bank. Long story short, we was coming up about $400 short at the end of the month. And I said to her, honey, don't you worry. We have always paid our tithes. We have always done, we've always been faithful to God. The word of God says that he will never see the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. I said, we're going to be all right. Everything's going to be fine. We had two more weeks at the end of that month, And at the very end of that month, she came to me with the checkbook. She says, I don't believe this. We had paid all the bills. And there was still $70 in the bank. And we could not find where that other money came in. And that's not just a one-time thing. That has happened in our lives twice in the 35 years that we've been married. We could not find where the money came from. Amen? When God says He's going to bless, He's going to bless. Whether you can figure out where it's coming from or not. Whether you can look and see it. For we walk by faith and not by sight. You don't have to worry about living by what you see. You don't have to worry about living by what the doctor says. You don't have to worry about living by what's coming over the TV or the social media. I had somebody tell me about 3 months ago, gas prices are going to be $8 a gallon by August. I said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. He said, rebuke it all you want to. It's coming. And now it's going down. Come on, somebody. We walk by faith and not by sight. We speak things into existence. And I ain't going to have nobody speak destruction into my finances. Amen? Well, that woman had troubles. But God. Come on, somebody, get with me. But God. Have you ever had a but God time in your life? Things were coming at you and you didn't know what you was going to do? But God. You didn't know if you was going to be able to make your car payment. But God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was at a church one time, and the pastor had hired me, and we took $1,000 a month cut in pay to take that job as a youth pastor at that church. We bought a mobile home, sold our house, bought a mobile home, and we had a new car that we just bought. And we were living there, and the man had promised me $300 a week. And they were going to take care of my lot rent for my house, for my trailer. And we were there, we had been there 3.5 years without a single raise, because my first Sunday on the job, that pastor stood up and announced a $350,000 building program. And it was draining every drop of money in the church, and I didn't get a raise for 3.5 years. It got down to the point I had one pair of pants and one shirt that I could wear to church. And I was wearing that pair of pants to the office every day. We were getting ready to be, the next payment was 3 months behind on the car. And the next payment was 3 months behind on the trailer. We were getting ready, and in that day and time, if you were 3 months behind, they come and got it. And I was already getting nasty letters from the bank about the car. And one of the council members walked up to me one day and he says, Matt, why is it you're only wearing the same pair of pants every day? And I said, well, sir, I'm embarrassed to tell you, it's the only pair I got. He says, why don't you go buy some more? I said, because I don't have the money to go buy anymore. And he asked me what I was making, and I told him. He said, well, when was your last raise? I said, I ain't had one since I've been here. And that man, me and Renee, we had been praying, Lord, do something. Lord, help us do something. That man found out that I hadn't had a raise, and the ministry that I had brought to that church, he convened a council meeting. And he convened a school board meeting on the same night for that church. And the council came up with $150 a week from the church, and the school came up with $150 a week from the school. And I got a double raise. Come on now. And I got it that week, and I was able to make them payments and not lose my house and my car. I didn't go to anybody and complain. I didn't go to anybody and say, I don't have no money. I didn't go to anybody and say that. It was just between me and Renee. Hallelujah. God intervenes. God will come through. You may not have everything you want, but when it comes down to what you need, God will be there. Amen. There was a man one time that, hallelujah. Somebody said about this woman was there from the widow from Zarephath. Said, how come God didn't just go ahead and fill up the oil and fill up the meal? Excuse me. Said, how come this God didn't go ahead and fill up the oil and the meal? How come he didn't just do that? Anybody know why he didn't do that? Number one, because he wanted her to have her faith. And number two, because God promised daily bread. Y'all get what I'm saying? He promised daily bread, and that's what he gave her, daily bread. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, there was a man one time. He was speaking with a preacher, with a pastor. And he started testifying to him, and he started telling him about these things that were going on in his life. And he had talked about what a wealthy job he had. He worked for the federal government. He was in Buffalo, New York. And he had developed a crippling disease, spinal meningitis. And he had all kinds of wealth. He made good money. He had tons of money in the bank. He had a huge house, and his house was two-thirds paid off. And he'd never been sick a day in his life. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, he gets struck with this tragedy of spinal meningitis, and he gets hospitalized. And he was hospitalized for more than 3 months, and he had the best of medical insurance available, but they exhausted it. And so he started having to draw from his checking account. And when he exhausted that, he started having to draw from his savings account. And when he exhausted that, they were running out of money. They didn't know what they were going to do. This hospital, they were bringing in specialists from all over the world to see him. And suddenly something else developed. He developed rheumatoid arthritis in his body, and the rheumatoid arthritis began to cause him such terrible pain in his body that he lapsed into a coma. And he'd been in that coma for quite a while. Now, this man, he remembers everything that happened while he was in that coma. He remembers everything everybody said. He remembers everybody that was in the room. And while he was in that coma, they were talking about, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. And they couldn't do anything to save his life. And it got down to the point that they said, he's dying. He's at the point of death. He won't be here another 20 or 30 minutes. They called in a priest. They called in a priest to deliver the last rites. And this priest came in, and he was saying the last rites over this man, and the man was testifying to this pastor, saying, I heard every word he was saying. I wanted to scream out to him that I knew everything he was saying, and I understood everything that was going on, but I couldn't even flicker an eyelash. He said, I wanted to scream it out to him, but I couldn't. Finally, the priest got finished, and he bundled up all of his gear and folded up his case, and the man heard the door shut. And when the door closed, his next words were telling this pastor. Suddenly another priest walked in through the wall. He said that first priest had gone out the door. That first priest, he was dressed all in black and he had his collar turned around backwards. He said, but this new priest that walked in through the wall, he was dressed in long, white, flowing robes. He said, this new priest, he was dressed like that, and he walked over to his bed. He said, and I don't know who he was, but he leaned over my bed, and I'd just been prepared for the grave. They were getting ready to just pull the sheet up over my head. He said, and this new priest walked over to my bed, and he said, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. Come on now. Come on, somebody. This man says, as I lay there, I said, what kind of priest is this? I don't have any trouble. I'm laying here. I've got spinal meningitis. What kind of crazy priest is this? I got spinal meningitis. I'm paralyzed from head to toe. Arthritis pain so bad I'm passing out. Bank accounts overdrawn. I've just been prepared for the grave. I don't have any trouble. If I ain't got any trouble, what's real trouble? And then the priest looked at him and bent over and got his lips next to his ear, and he said to him, I am the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I am healing you right now. Woo! Glory to God. He said, when I walk out of this room, I want you to walk out of this room and get dressed. Go to the first bookstore you find and buy a Bible, and you start reading the book of John, and then you find eternal life, and you find faith in God. He said, and he turned and he walked out of the wall, walked through the wall to leave again. Hallelujah. The man awoke and he wanted to be obedient to the Lord who'd spoken it to him. So he pulled out his own IV and he got up and he walked into the bathroom and he started washing up and cleaning up and he started to shave. And about that time, the nurse walked in. She walked in because she knew he had just been delivered the last rites. And she walked in to pull the sheet up over his head. And she looked, and he went in the bed, and she went, ah! And then she turned and looked and saw him in the bathroom, and she went, ah! Again. And she walked up to him and grabbed him by the arm, and she was standing there holding him, and she said, sir, what are you doing? Don't you know you're dying? Go get back into bed. She said, the priest had just come in here and give you the last rites. He said, ma'am, let me tell you something. I've had another priest come in and he gave me the first rites all over again. Hallelujah. And he's healed my body and he's healed me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. He says, I'm going to live and I'm not going to die. Come on, somebody glorify the Lord with me. Then the man looked at the preacher and he said, pastor, why did he walk through the wall? Why didn't he use the door? And the pastor looked at him and says, my goodness, man, don't you know he is the door? Glory to God, glory to God. God can make a door wherever you are. God can make a door in your situation. God can make a door into your living room. You might be sitting in your living room watching us. You might be in the hospital bed right now watching us. You might be sitting there sipping, thinking you're a sipping saint. You might be sitting there drinking your beer. You might be sitting there in your recliner. Don't you know he is the door? He'll come right into that living room where you are. He'll come right into that hospital room where you are. He'll knock you down. He'll pour out the Holy Ghost on you. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He wants to make a door into your life. He'll visit you behind prison doors. You might be in a place where you can't get out. But they don't make a place that'll keep God out. Come on now. He is your door. He will make a way into your life. There's no trouble that he can't overcome. Now there's trouble in this land. But the words of the man after God's own heart in one of the most famous passages of Scripture other than John 3:16 hold a truth that we can literally stand on. Amen? Amen? There's trouble that's in this land. This trouble is going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But you can look at it and tell it's going to get worse. Come on, somebody. But God has a way of keeping his own. Can somebody say amen? God has a way of reaching his hand down when you're in the middle of all that trial and turmoil, putting you in his hand. And he said, there's nothing that can take you out of my hand. He said, 1,000 shall fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely, surely, come on now. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It was just last week when I preached about goodness and mercy following you all the days of your life. They're following you. They're backing you up. They're standing behind you, holding you up. And when the devil tries to back you up, he can't because they're back there holding you up. Come on, somebody. Listen. If you're not saved, you're in trouble. Romans 8:28. And you've heard this over and over. Romans 8:28 says, For all things work for the good. No, it don't. Come on now. That's not true. There's another part of it. And we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. If you ain't loving God, everything that happens to you is not working out for your good. Amen? That's the devil trying his best to destroy you before you can get to your good. If you're not saved, you're headed for the greatest trouble you'll ever face. And you'll never be able to face it alone. But if you come to Jesus, there'll be help. Psalm 34 and 16 says, "The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of broken heart, and saveth such as be of contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, no, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust him shall be desolate." Did you hear me? Who is the righteousness of God? Everybody that is saved, everybody that's accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior and Lord, you are the righteousness of God. And if you're watching by live stream, listening by radio, or watching on Roku TV, if you're not saved, you can change that right now. If you're in this house right now and you don't know for sure and certain that you are on your way to heaven, you can change that right now. If you don't mind, would you stand with me all over the house? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you're not saved, you're looking at a very horrible time coming up. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're looking at a very horrible time coming up. If you don't know for sure and certain that your election is secure with Him, your name is not written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you don't know for certain, you're headed for trouble like this world's never seen. Hallelujah. But you can change that right now. If you're in this house and you feel that way, don't worry about what anybody else is going to think, because they don't matter. This is all about you and God. You need to find your way down to this altar right now and ask the Lord to come in and to make your election sure. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one. Is there another? Glory to God. If you're watching by live stream or you're listening by radio, you can make an altar right where you are. You can pray. You can ask the Lord forgiveness. You can ask Him into your heart. You can repent of your sin. You can make your election sure this very minute. We're going to pray this prayer together. Show me your right hand. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know You're the Son of God. I know You died on the cross for my sin. You were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kid Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.